Now for agribusiness news, markets, and weather from Studio C, this is Agriculture Today.
The Port of Oakland is going to make available a 25-acre site. Ag companies can fill empty containers with American agricultural commodities. We hope to have this operational as soon as March.
Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack with some of the details involving a pilot pop-up site at the Port of Oakland.
USDA is going to pay 60% of the cost of the startup of this particular effort. The Port of Oakland will provide the space. Containers will be made available to ag companies and cooperatives. They will fill them up with commodities. There'll be a dedicated gate with the ability to pre-cool reefer containers so that perishable items can be placed in these containers. It's important for us to start this pilot effort in Port of Oakland. The hope and the goal is that we're able to expand this opportunity in other ports along the coast in the hope that eventually we see a more free-flowing effort on the export side.
This is Agriculture Today.
I'd be remiss if I didn't say, you know, we talk a lot about the summer business meeting. We talk a lot about the conventions and the live cattle marketing committee meetings that occur at both of those events. But realistically, over the last year and a half, and probably longer than that, we've been engaged with our producers through working groups, through small groups, through task forces on a variety of different issues. And they meet on a weekly basis, sometimes for several hours at a time, you know. And so this conversation is not limited to those two events every year. It really is ongoing all the time.
That's Tanner Beamer, Director of Government Affairs and Market Regulatory Policy with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
I think obviously the headline event of the day was the conversation on the role that the government should play in ensuring that we have good negotiated trade. NCBA has policy and has for some time that opposes any government action that would restrict a cattle producer's right to market his or her cattle in the way that works best for their individual business operation. And we saw that reiterated yesterday. Now, of course, it's been a very difficult time in the cattle business, and there were a lot of different opinions, and votes went both ways on that issue, but I think what ultimately ended up happening is a majority spoke and said, we don't want to see the government dictating those terms to us, so we're going to pursue other means to improve the price discovery environment. And it wasn't just price discovery either. You're right. A lot of those resolutions were aimed at market transparency, at processing capacity, at some of these fundamental market issues. There was a lot of agreement on that. You know, we voted a lot of those in by voice vote, and I didn't hear opposition to very many of them, if any. So I think that's what our focus is going to be, is we're going to continue to hold the line on mandates, but more so than that, we're going to be proactively pursuing some of these policies that we talked about. Confidentiality issues by changing up the makeup of the five area, adding Wyoming to Colorado, South Dakota, and Illinois to Iowa, Minnesota. We had some other policies on the cattle contract library and where that needs to go and what that needs to look like. Those are some things that the industry is ready to pursue and move forward with, and that's, I think, where our focus is going to be moving forward.
He's been at the forefront of work of trying to find solutions to the markets and the cattle contract library.
You know, that legislation has moved at whipsaw speed through the legislative process on the House side. It was introduced a few months ago, and it's already passed the House of Representatives. By the way, out of 435, only 14 voted no on that bill. So we're going to say that that's a pretty broad consensus on the House side. As far as timeline on the Senate, I'm not sure about that. Part of that is the fact that it's a midterm election year, and members of Congress, rightly so, want to spend more time in their home states on the campaign trail and making their case to voters to come back to Washington, D.C. So as far as the calendar and the timeline, there are some deadlines we have to hit for like things like livestock mandatory reporting. But how the cattle contract library ties into that conversation just remains to be seen.
Talks about his marching orders.
My marching orders are to pursue legislative and regulatory solutions that will improve price discovery, but such solutions should not restrict a cattle producer's right to choose how they market cattle and cannot include cash mandates. But like I said, we have a lot more direction as well on things like market transparency, and that's what we're going to be pursuing on Capitol Hill, in the federal agencies, with our partners in the other segments of the industry as well. And we've been doing a lot of that. From the staff side, we have conversations on a daily basis, all over the board, trying to advance these priorities. From the producer and the member perspective, we've had a lot of working groups where we have been advocating this. So we are not starting from square one. We are just pushing that accelerator even further down towards the metal. And we are going to run at it and try and see what we can get done here.
It's Agriculture Today.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, The formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
The advantages that we have to provide financial services in the ag is top-notch. It's the best in the country. We have a capital management plan that we all celebrate and hold very close to us at Capital Farm Credit. And that capital management plan is premised on the fact that we're a cooperative. So as a cooperative, we believe that the members of the cooperative own the capital of the cooperative. At Capital Farm Credit, together, we're better.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
The Livestock Subcommittee on Foreign Agriculture will now come to order.
California Representative Jim Costa on Thursday at a House Ag Subcommittee hearing on livestock.
We look at the challenges facing American agriculture and issues involving American agriculture under these challenging times that we're living in. I think is important for this subcommittee to focus on as we prepare not only for this year's legislative agenda, but also as we set the table for next year's farm bill.
Costa is chairman of the livestock subcommittee, but the ranking member is from South Dakota, Dusty Johnson.
I want to echo what you said about this being an impressive panel, and I'm looking forward to hearing from these knowledgeable and solutions-focused experts. But let's be clear, there are threats because there are less knowledgeable and less solutions-focused people who are sharing their views in other venues. I was disappointed earlier this week to see the New York Times had an opinion piece titled, and I'm not making this up, "Meet the People Getting Paid to Kill Our Planet." And the opinion piece made sweeping, inaccurate statements about American agriculture. The piece seemed oblivious to the kind of progress that we're making as a country. The piece was terrible, and it was made worse by the fact that some members of Congress, including Senator Cory Booker, cooperated with the project. So let's be clear, because the facts are not in dispute. In recent decades, the U.S. beef industry has reduced net emissions by more than 40%. And so net emissions from U.S. beef production are 10 times lower than net emissions in other parts of the world. Additionally, U.S. ranchers are producing the same amount of beef today as they did in 1977, with 33% fewer animals and, of course, less land being used as well. And farm productivity was 287% greater in 2017 than it was in 1948. I mean, that's just incredible, 287% greater. And so, Mr. Chairman, you're exactly right. The American farmer, the American rancher, they are producing more with less. They have made the United States the most efficient producer of food and fiber in the world. And, Mr. Chairman, that environmental progress will continue because of the solutions being worked on by the witnesses on our panel today, as well as progress being made by others. And those solutions are coming in many forms. I would call out one, precision ranching technologies being developed by South Dakota State University and the West River Research and Extension Center. And this is a neat project. I mean, they are deploying a series of precision measuring technologies in Phillips, South Dakota. So what do? They're using GPS. They're using precision scales to track individual cattle location and weight on a daily basis. And these tools also allow producers to manage grazing rotations with a smartphone. And so collectively, these tools are giving us unprecedented insight into the grazing practices of these cattle, what they're eating, what that means for weight gain, and what that means for food quality and sustainability. This is an incredibly fun project, and it's an important one as well. And so I would just close by saying this, Mr. Chairman, a better, more sustainable future will not come from the harsh, scolding voices of the naysayers.
South Dakota Representative Dusty Johnson. It's Agriculture Today.
Stock up and save on John Deere filters and packaged oil at the South Plains Implement semi-annual sale. Now through February 28th, receive 10 to 12% off John Deere filters and packaged oil for large ag equipment, and 10% off compact tractor home maintenance kits and oil when you purchase filters. No payments, no interest options available on qualifying purchases. Some restrictions apply. See us for details. With 14 locations, there's a South Plains Implement near you. South Plains Implement, where farm meets family.
Did you know that the world-famous Café Du Monde has always used cottonseed oil to fry their beignets? Cotton Board invested over $1.5 million into cottonseed research and marketing last year with Cotton Incorporated, including research on the health benefits of cottonseed oil compared to other oils. Our goal is to make cottonseed oil the preferred cooking oil in kitchens across the country, like a Café Du Monde in New Orleans. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
I've been with the agency for more than 40 years, beginning my career as an NRCS intern in Iowa in 1979.
Terry Cosby is chief of the Natural Resources Conservation Service.
I appreciate the ongoing support this subcommittee has provided for voluntary private lands conservation, and I look forward to the conversation today. The last 2 years of COVID-19 pandemic has been extremely challenging, with unprecedented pressures on our staff and customers, directly influencing the way we operate at the field level. Our staff and agriculture producers have also faced devastating extreme weather events, including tornadoes, drought, wildfires, and flooding. In the face of these challenges, NRCS staff continues to successfully implement conservation programs, as well as offering innovative improvements that responds to the needs and challenges of our customers across the country. As we will discuss today, addressing the climate crisis and advancing equity are core components of our work. I would note a few highlights from the past year that illustrates the impact of our conservation programs. Our two core working lands conservation programs are the Environmental Quality Incentive Program, EQIP, and the Conservation Stewardship Program, CSP. In fiscal year 21, we enrolled 34,054 EQIP contracts, totaling nearly $1.26 billion. We also enrolled 4,495 UCSP contracts on 5.8 million acres and 2,709 CSP renewals on 3.8 million acres. Our easement program, the Agriculture Conservation Easement Program, ACEP, support landowners in protecting, restoring, and enhancing wetlands and working farms and ranches. During fiscal year 21, we enrolled nearly 200,000 acres in ACEP. I also highlight the Regional Conservation Partnership Program, which leverages partner investments to deliver conservation solutions. In FY21, NRCS announced $330 million for 85 new RCPP classic projects and $75 million for 15 alternative funding awards. We also work with partners through the Conservation Innovator Grant Program, which supports the adoption and evaluation of innovative conservation approaches. Administrator Ducino will discuss FSA conservation programs, but I will note that NRCS provides the conservation planning and the technical assistance. In FY21, NRCS provided conservation planning and technical assistance on 4.8 million acres for a total of 58,800 UCRP contracts.
Testifying before a House Ag subcommittee talks about how NRCS's work begins with people.
As we expand our investment in climate smart agriculture, we recognize the importance of qualifying conservation outcomes, which include carbon sequestration and greenhouse gas reductions. This work will contribute to soil monitoring efforts across the department. Implementation of our conservation programs and these important updates is, of course, dependent on our staff and capacity across the country. In FY21, we used direct hire authorities to bring on 1,141 new employees, and an aggressive hiring strategy will continue to support our overall staffing goals as we implement our key priorities. Currently, we have 10,361 staff directly employed by the agency and 2,465 staff employed through partners. Across program implementation as well as hiring, the value of equity and inclusion are vital components of our work. We recently announced $50 million in cooperative agreements to expand access to conservation assistance. These agreements will expand the delivery of conservation assistance to farmers who are youth to farming, low-income, social disadvantaged, or military veterans. Expanded access to programs and services also include insurance support is available for urban producers. NRCS houses the Office of Urban Agriculture and Integrated Production, which was established for the 2018 Farm Bill. While the office is located within NRCS, it is coordinated as a department-wide effort to leverage tools and services that support urban agriculture. To date, approximately $11 million in grants and cooperative agreements have been awarded for projects that support food access, community gardens, urban farms, and food waste reduction.
It's Agriculture Today.
Now is the time to sell. Demand for used equipment is high, and Purple Wave Auction can help you reach the largest community of online buyers. Whether you have a single item or an entire fleet, Purple Wave Auction offers a hassle-free way to sell your equipment. Visit purplewave.com. Straight, simple, sold.
What can you get for 2 cents these days? How about new, more efficient wheat varieties? Better market access for Texas wheat producers and increased demand to your product. Each year, the Texas Wheat Producers Board achieves these goals by investing producer contributions to promote wheat through research, education, and market development. Who knew 2 cents could be so valuable? A message from the Texas Wheat Producers Board.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
You know, it's great that the policies that I get to work on Capitol Hill and the agencies don't come from me, because I don't know best. The producers on the ground know best. They know what problems they have. They know what needs to be solved. They give us the message. They work. Their ideas come through our policy process, go through a committee. If a majority of producers like it, then it gets passed. And then I have my directive and I have my orders. And I appreciate that, because then it's not Alison Rivera pushing the policy. It is absolutely the producers on the ground, and I appreciate that.
Alison Rivera is Executive Director of Government Affairs with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
The port issue we are absolutely keeping an eye on. It's a multi-layered issue. It is not just one thing, and we're working with a lot of different industries to keep an eye on that situation, working with our partners at USMEF to make sure that our exports are getting out. The infrastructure space, passing the infrastructure package was such a huge win for us. We had to do a lot of explaining that this was not, in fact, Build Back Better. This was a roads and bridges, rural broadband bill that really is going to go a long way to make sure that our producers can move cattle, move their product to market, and be able to move at the speed of commerce, which is what they all want. They want to be profitable and be able to do that. We also got a huge win in that package. We got that more flexibility in the hours of service, that back-end 150 air mile exemption that we've been fighting so hard for. And while it's not the end of the story, you know, it is going to provide flexibility, which is the key there.
This has also revealed another big issue, and that's a shortage of drivers.
I believe the DOT secretary, or at least the FMCSA head, has said over the last couple of years that our truck drivers have been essential workers through COVID. But honestly, in all instances, at all times, they are the ones, predominantly moving our cattle and moving product. And so we have to make sure that we figure out a way to address this driver shortage issue. We have a really great relationship with ATA. We don't always agree, but that's okay. We can come to the table and have a frank conversation. We have policy in the NCBA policy book that says to work with groups like ATA, because they do represent quite a few trucking entities. And at the end of the day, we are stronger in greater numbers.
And that highlights the importance of finding other partners to work with and sit at the same table.
Again, when we come to the table with multiple ag groups or multiple groups within the trucking or commerce space, it gives us a leg up. It says, it tells Congress, it tells the agencies, there is a group of people that can all agree on one thing. That is a difficult thing to do in Washington, D.C. And so when we are able to deliver that and come together and agree on something like a farm bill priority, that just helps us to move faster and to move priorities through that our members want.
And it's time to start the debate on the 2023 Farm Bill.
I mean, we have had the Animal Veterinary Countermeasures Bank, or as I lovingly call it, the FMD Bank. And the beauty is we've had that safety net. We haven't had to use it, thank goodness, but we've had it. We had it there if we needed it. And that's been our talking point the whole time. I think that we are still hearing from producers about how the conservation programs are working and how that title can be made better. I've had a lot of conversations with producers this week on a lot of those programs. So we're going to take that. We're going to stop and look at the implementation of 2018. But as we look towards 2023, we're going to take those comments from our producers and work on those programs to make them even better.
At the end of the day, you have to get involved.
It's absolutely important. I joke all the time. You know, I live in D.C., so you all don't have to. And I'm happy to do it. But D.C. is a bubble, and it's very easy to get stuck in that bubble. And we have to hear from producers. They have to break through that bubble and share what's going on the ground. Because I don't live in Kansas. I don't live in Nebraska. I don't live in Texas. And I need to hear what's working and what's not, so then I can relay that message back to D.C.
It's Agriculture Today
AquaYield regional agronomist Dr. Tracy Carrillo talks about using NanoPro to improve your burndown.
NanoPro is a nanoliquid technology that grabs the molecules of your burndown herbicides. It enhances the delivery of your herbicides, making them more efficient. You oftentimes see a 3-to-1 return on investment. This will stretch your chemical use up to 30%, which means you're saving more money, especially with the availability and volatility of chemicals these days.
Find out more at AquaYield.com.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
This is Agriculture Today.
We started off awfully slow. You know, we had to get started in February of 2021 virtually because of the COVID shutdown. From May on, things opened up pretty well, and we were able to get out and about more and interact with members across the country, because that's the one of the really cool things about having this position is getting to visit ranches and operations around the country and meet the people that we represent and are actually in our business. So it's good to do that. It's also good to turn it over to Mr. Schiefelbein, who will take over this afternoon.
Jerry Bone, Kansas producer, outgoing president, National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
I started early in my career. I worked at Cattle Facts, and of course we office with the National Cattlemen. At that time it was, I think, American National Cattlemen's Association. During my tenure there, I think they changed it to the National Cattlemen's Association. And of course we renamed it again in 1996. But I got exposed at that time to the work of the National Association. I got to meet a lot of the, at that time, the leaders of the association, and you know, I just became interested in staying involved in the industry. Politics interests me some. I like learning about government and how it works. And so we're, the association's about a lot about dealing with government, and unfortunately probably playing defense more than offense. But working on behalf of the industry has been a passion of mine, and so that was what kind of pushed me along. As I step back, I still intend to be active and work in those roles as much as I can.
And he talks about why it's important to get involved.
We have a government that is, they love to regulate us and tell us what to do. And so we have that lobby office in Washington, D.C., and they're engaged every day on our behalf, interacting with regulators, congressmen, bureaucrats, elected leaders, working on hopefully solutions to our issues, but oftentimes protecting us from them. And so I would encourage everyone listening, if you're not a member of your state association and the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, please join us and help us fight this fight. One of the things I would point out, during the height of the pandemic, National Cattlemen's Beef Association realized how much pain cattle producers were suffering across the country because of the challenges, the rapid drop in cattle prices, the shutdown of everything, the shortage of supply. We made a tactical decision to go to the government and ask for financial assistance for cattle producers. It's the very first time in history of the association that we ever did that. But we did it because people needed help. And so I think probably close to 100% of cattle producers collected some CFAP money. That was a result of the work of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association going to bat for producers. And so most of them got enough money they could pay their dues for the rest of their life and have lots of money left over.
And he remains optimistic for 2022.
Beef demand's record good. It's the best it's been, and I believe CattleFax quoted yesterday 33 years. That's outstanding. And so I think that's a testament to the product that our industry's providing today. I think the work of our beef checkoff also played a role there, and we certainly can't take 100% credit for it. But the quality of the product, the consistency of the product that we are providing, people are willing to buy, and they're willing to pay more for it. Prices are record high, and beef demand is record high all at the same time.
It's Agriculture Today.
For years, Texas cotton growers have had a trusted partner when it comes to choosing their varieties. Next Gen brand cottonseed from AmeriCut. Next Gen varieties bred specifically for West Texas growers have performed year after year, even in harsh conditions. And for this year's season, there are several new Bollgard 3 Extend Flex varieties available. Contact your local Next Gen representative or dealer today to learn more about varieties suited for your needs. Next Gen, your West Texas partner for performance cottonseed.
Every drop counts. Introducing the Patriot 50 Series Sprayer from Case IH that puts every drop of product exactly where you want it. Enhanced LED lights, a cab designed for all-day comfort, and more precise spraying technology. Because just like you, we know every drop counts. Visit your local Wiley implement for details on the new Patriot 50 Series Sprayer.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
The three largest commodities, and sorghum's there with us, we all go to Commodity Classics. That's where we're going to start setting our farm bill priorities. So I encourage all of the wheat growers in your listening area to please come to Commodity Classic that first week there in March in New Orleans.
Talking about corn, soybeans, wheat, and sorghum gathering for Commodity Classic, Chandler Gould, CEO, National Association of Wheat Growers.
This is a very critical point for the wheat growers when we're going to set those priorities. And then it's really time for the House of Representatives and the House Ag Committee, the Senate Ag Committee, to start scheduling farm bill hearings so we can start looking at what worked in the 2018 farm bill, what do we need to change, and what new authorities or changing of existing programs do we need to be looking at for 2023, because the actual drafting of the legislation should start later this year and for sure at the beginning of next year.
Now, speaking of Commodity Classic coming up in New Orleans, Gould explains.
Well, first, I would encourage them to go to our website at wheatworld.org. You can find all of the information about the NOG Board of Directors meeting, our policy committee meetings that we'll be having there. We'll also be having our National Wheat Yield Contest reception, honoring our winners across all six classes there. And then, of course, we'll be having our PAC and President's Reception. So, I mean, that's just the NOG functionalities there. Then we move into the trade show. We know that Secretary Vilsack will be there to address us. NASA is actually coming to the NOG Board of Directors to talk about what they see from their satellites, what the aquifers across the United States and around the world look like, and, you know, what they do to monitor crop productions from satellite and through their organization. So we've got a very exciting program for our board of directors.
Farm bill is vitally important moving ahead, but also addressing supply chain disruptions.
I never thought supply chain would be an issue that I would talk about, and I'm going to my second year, the second full year of discussing this issue. I think as we continue to have disruptions due to COVID and lack of people being able to fill roles in the industry throughout the supply chain, we're going to continue to see some disruptions. I just want to make sure everybody is comfortable and knows we have plenty of wheat, we have plenty of flour, but it is the disruption further down the supply chain while you may be seeing some empty shelves. I know my sister sent me a picture of her grocery store, and she lives up in Michigan. It had literally three rows in her grocery store, completely empty, not just a wheat product, just empty. And so it is an issue that continues forward, and I think until we get this pandemic under control, it's something that we're going to be dealing with for several more months, if not up to a year.
And it's a little upsetting to see empty store shelves, but there is a positive side to that story.
People do still want our product. And I'll tell you the other reason it's encouraging is when you have all these fad diets running around out there, you know, no carbs, no gluten, no this, no that. But when it comes down to it and the supply chain starts to get a little limited, people realize that these fad diets is not where they need to be, that a good balanced diet that's got whole grains in it and wheat products in it, it's really just comforting to know that we've still got that good education level out there of why these important whole grain products are important to a good balanced diet. So I hate to see customers going to the store and they're not being food there, but I think it's also helping us in the long run to realize that food is not imminent, that you're always going to have it there on the shelves. And that's why it's important that we protect growers with things like the farm bill and investments in our rural communities so we can make sure that supply chain continues to run and we always have a safe and affordable food supply on our grocery shelves.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com and texascrp.com, to view many properties we have currently listed in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Give us a call at 800-933-9698 to discuss these properties in detail. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
On the phone with Joe Guzman, Director of Sales for Equinom Smarter Sesame. Joe, 2022's here. You have lots of opportunities in sesame.
That's right, Stephen. We have grain handlers with 2022 agreements ready to be signed. Smarter Sesame makes a great rotational crop for producers who are planning for the new crop and season. With inputs on the rise, Smarter Sesame is a great choice for low input acres.
Joe, if somebody wants to find out more, how can they do that?
They can call 1-833-SESAME or visit equinom.com.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
The USDA's report on farm product prices says 2021 ended with a price bang. A major increase in prices paid to farmers. Those prices for all commodities averaged together rose 3.5% in December, leaving that price index 24% higher than December 2020. But while prices paid to all producers were 24% higher, prices paid by farmers to do business also up by 9.5%. A quick look at some prices here for commodities. The all wheat price December climbing 7 cents to an average $8.58 a bushel, $3.12 higher than December a year ago. Corn, a similar story, up 20 cents during December to $5.47 a bushel, $1.50 more than December a year ago. Soybeans, more support in December, rising 30 cents to an average of $12.50, $1.90 more than December 2020. Livestock, beef cattle prices continue to rise. December averaged $137 a hundredweight, almost $30 more than the year before. Hogs, poultry, and milk also well above year-ago price levels. Gary Crawford, Washington.